Hi, today's December 26, 2021, and this is Mobius Podcast 387. I'm Tom Gaspora, and my friend John Westfall is on a super secret mission, so the good doctor will return at some time in the near future. But today's guest co-host is my old friend, Paul Lawler. And actually, you know, Paul was on the podcast most recent of our far-flung friends, reconnecting with friends series. He was last on podcast 362, so that wasn't that long ago, in May of this calendar year, 2021. And he's not a far-flung friend, because although right now he is. But normally we live about a mile apart, but right now he was like 4,000 miles away, I think, somewhere around there.
Yes.
So he's currently a far-flung friend, but normally he's a near-flung friend.
So. Although I see you in person just about as often.
Yeah, there you go, right? I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think. Have we even seen each other during the pandemic? Maybe in Foodland once? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. Because, sometimes we run into each other in the supermarket or in Costco or, you know, one of those kind of... for us, that's about as social as I get. So that is a social outing for me. But anyway, yeah, so Paul is a near-flung friend who is currently far-flung. And I just thought I'd catch up because we haven't actually spoken one-on-one in a long time. And how are you doing? You look all bundled up, so it looks like you're somewhere where it's snowing.
It is snowing, actually. It's about 11 degrees, but the wind chill makes it minus 8.
Yay. not so much here, by the way. It is 75 degrees, and the wind chill is about 75 degrees. Back here in Hawaii. I'm looking outside. It is kind of overcast, however, so it's not the prettiest of days. But hey, I'm not complaining. You know, I've been watching some of the weather. I read that it is snowing in the Northwest, up in, you know, Oregon, Washington State, those kind of places.
Yeah, we're getting inches of snow. They're getting feet of snow.
Yeah. Hey, even Mauna Kea got snow, by the way. Huh. You know, more than a dusting. So, anywho. So how are you doing since we last saw, or not? Yeah, I guess we can say we saw each other. Saw each other on Skype.
I'm well, thank you.
And, I have not flown at all during the pandemic. So how is traveling in an airplane? Did you feel pretty comfortable and everything? How did the technology hold up?
Last year was extremely comfortable because they had the social distancing in the planes.
Right.
I got upgraded a lot.
Yeah.
This year, even though they extended my platinum status.
Right.
I still don't get upgraded at all.
Oh, boy.
Because I guess they extended everybody else's diamond status. And the planes are very crowded.
Right.
And, well, of course, I don't know if you've been following the last couple of days, but the airlines have been canceling thousands of...
I assume you got to where you are right now before this whole thing started.
I did.
Okay, good.
Whether or not I can get home is another question.
Well, I'm sorry I'm laughing, Paul. It's not a laughing matter.
But actually, on the airplanes, everybody is still pretty good about, you know, wearing the masks. And, you know, they have the HEPA filters and they change the air a couple minutes. But in the airport is where it's terrible because people are still, you know, crammed together, jostling each other, pushing and shoving.
Right. Just like before.
Yeah.
And how about airplane? You know, when was the last time I even flew? I think the last time I flew was in 2017, 4 years. Yeah, I don't think I've gone anywhere in 4 years. So how's airplane technology these days? Lots of ports for power and audio and Wi-Fi and all that?
Yeah, well, so I normally fly on Delta because they give the pretty platinum card. And every seat back has a USB-A port.
Okay.
And between every two seats, there's a 110 socket.
Yeah. Oh, really? A 110 socket. Yeah. And so, how did...
You can,
yeah. And do they still show movies on airplanes? Like I said, I haven't been on an airplane in 4 years. So
they still show movies on the seatback screen. Right. And you can also watch the movies on your personal device.
Yeah, yeah.
My assumption
I tried that, and it never worked for me. I forget the service that I tried it on, but it never, ever worked.
So my assumption is that they're going to move toward that.
Yeah.
Where it's only personal devices and not, because the seatback screens, you know, they run on Linux. And I only know that because I've seen them reboot so often that I see the Penguin. But they reboot them all the time. Half, you know, some of them don't work. And yeah. Then some guy in seat 13B complains that his doesn't work. So they reboot the whole system.
Yeah.
And it's not a very elegant system.
Yeah.
So I suspect the direction they want to move is the BYOD, where you bring your personal device and use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say probably the number of people who are unable or unwilling to do that is significantly small enough, or insignificantly small, or whatever the word is. Small enough that they don't really worry about ticking off customers.
Yeah, I think their challenge with doing that is that they're going to have to go back to the live demos of the safety equipment.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Because now the safety demos are all on video.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen any of those, you should Google or look for them on YouTube, because some of them are just hilarious.
I have seen, I want to say Qantas or a couple of those kind of airlines, international airlines, have really humorous ones. I myself have never seen a humorous one on any flight I've been on at least domestic airlines.
I'll send you some links you can put in the show notes.
Okay. And the seatback, the last time I traveled, the seatback power, again, this was 4 years ago, it was pretty limited. You know, it was maybe like 2 watts. So it could maybe power up a phone, but no way it could power an iPad. You know how many... Or if you needed to,
I don't know the answer to that. I've never tried to power anything
more than
I have powered an iPad with it, but yeah. I've never tried to power anything stronger than that.
Yeah. Which would probably be the most you need to iPad, you know, big phone, something like that.
But it does the phones no problem, and of course there's always the 110 outlet too. So you can,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, laptop or anything there.
Right.
But because there's three seats, right. And the 110 outlets are in between the seats in front of you, so there's only two 110 outlets.
Oh, so you might have to fight for one. Yeah.
So if everybody wants a lot to power their laptop, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Unless you bring like a USB C PD port hub, then you can share. Tip, travel tip of the week, bring a USB C PD port hub.
Actually, what I bring is a power bank. Oh. Strong enough to charge my laptop.
Yeah. Now, where are you buying your power banks from? Because Amazon won't ship them to Hawaii. Or do you ship them to where you, when
I
you're
ship
on the mainland?
To... carry them.
That's pretty funny. I know there are a couple that when my daughter was going to college on the mainland, I know sometimes I'd ship stuff up to her. And then when I go visit her or, you know, help her move or whatever, I'd go pick it up from her. So. Yeah, we in Hawaii, for the our fives of listeners who do not know, we cannot get Amazon to ship us a lot of stuff. Mostly things with lithium-ion batteries. They just won't ship it to us. And I actually did some research on the reason why. And it's kind of interesting about why some things do ship. Apple will ship stuff with lithium-ion, no problems. And Amazon will ship some things with lithium-ion, like a notebook or something. But... other items like power banks, no. But notebooks, yes. Headphones, yes. So it's
and,
a...
And what is the reason why?
Oh, so when I did some research on it, apparently Amazon will only ship if the shipping entity, whether it's the manufacturer or wholesaler or whatever, will adhere to a process where the battery is run down to at least 30% or lower. Because, you know, the... one common practice is ship, you know, nearly like 80% charge batteries,
right?
And they don't want that. So if you can, if you will guarantee, you know, if you'll certify, I guess is the word, that your batteries have been, you know, dropped to 30% or less, they will ship it. But if it's more than 30%, they won't. Now, I have not checked when, you know, I haven't ordered a laptop or anything in a long time, something with a big battery. So I haven't checked what the batteries were, but I think they did come pretty low, you know, like 25% charge or something. Not enough to deep discharge, I guess, but, you know, enough to meet the requirements.
So this is interesting because I ordered an Oculus Quest 2 VR headset.
Yeah.
From Amazon, which they ship.
Yeah.
And it was defective, which, you know, it happens.
Right.
So Amazon's very good about returns, right? I just filled out the form. They said, here, print out this label, stick it on the box.
Right.
And so along with the label, they had me print out a label that said, you know, warning, lithium ion batteries, yada, yada, yada. So I stuck both of those on the box, and I took it to the UPS store, and they go,
nope.
Oh, you know, we can't take it with this label on it. They go, what's in it? I said, oh, a VR headset. And they go, does it have a lot of batteries? I said, no, I don't. So, and they go, okay, just take this label off.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. What you gonna do, you know?
Apparently, and I know this is true because I used to work for an airline, pilots will kind of look through the cargo as it's being loaded.
Oh, really?
And if they see anything that they're not comfortable with, they will ask it for it to be taken off the plane.
Wow.
So they look for those big stickers, right, that say hazmat.
Right.
In fact, I remember one pilot for an airline, which will remain nameless, who had a box of watches taken off the plane because they had the glow-in-the-dark dials.
Right.
So apparently they had a hazmat sticker on the box because there were glow-in-the-dark dials on the watches.
This must have been a while back. So was this back when radium? Back in the 70s. So it's literally radioactive watches.
Right.
Well, I can kind of see that, which is why we don't have radioactive watches anymore, you know? Yeah, for those old enough, and Paul and I are old enough, there was a time when, you know, we didn't have LCD or LED watches or whatever. And if it glowed in the dark, if you go back far enough, they actually used radium.
Radium,
Which is radioactive, which is why it glows in the dark. And they found other phosphorescent non-radioactive substances after that, but I don't think I ever had one, but I remember reading about them and seeing, oh, that was pretty cool. You have like a radioactive watch. So did you ever get your Oculus replaced?
I did.
And what do you think?
So I used to have an Oculus Go.
Okay.
Which was their low-end unit.
Yeah.
Their new low-end unit is the Oculus Quest 2.
Okay.
And it's absolutely a cut above the Oculus Go. It's better in almost every possible way. It also has a port where you can connect it to a computer and use it with full-on Oculus hardware that's running on the PC. So you can use it as a headset for a full-blown VR system, or you can use it standalone.
Right.
The old Oculus Go used to overheat, and so after you use it for about 25 minutes, it would flash these warnings inside the headset saying, I'm overheating, stop using me. The new one has fans inside. The new one also has a mode where you can touch a button and it has cameras on it, so it will immediately show you what's around you, so without ripping the headset off, just touch the button and see what's happening around you in real life.
That is pretty cool.
And it also has you, before you start playing with it, you actually use the little hand controller and you prescribe a boundary. So you draw like a square around you, about 6 feet around.
Yeah.
And then if you get too close to the edge of that, it will show these blue, looks like the Matrix, like a blue crosshatch.
Right.
A blue grid pattern.
Right.
In the middle of your VR experience, suddenly this blue grid pattern will show up, and you know that you've come to the boundary.
Well, if you're moving around, if you're walking around.
So if you're doing something like one of the popular games is called Beat Saber, which is actually a very good workout. You have a lightsaber in each hand, and things are coming at you, and the music is playing, and you have to slash the things on the beat.
Right.
in different directions. So it's a much better workout than you would think, considering you're not moving more than 6 feet.
Right.
But you actually get quite sweaty playing this.
Yeah, it's so cardio. Yeah.
When you're doing something like Beat Saber, obviously you don't want to run into the couch or run into a table something. So the virtual wall is really handy.
That is interesting. Kind of a geofence for your personal self.
Yeah. And if you go outside of it accidentally, then it'll activate the cameras.
Can you use it to do things like watch a movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like Netflix or whatever. Does it really care? Do you need special software to watch streaming video, or anything's
fine?
You
do need special. The software has to be Oculus compliant.
Ah, got it.
But there is a Netflix app, and there is an Amazon Prime app. There's not an Apple TV app, interestingly.
Hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, basically, between Netflix and Amazon Prime, I can pretty much find something to watch.
You're pretty happy. Yeah.
But it's kind of nice if you're on like the airplane, for example, because you can put this thing on and suddenly you're not sitting in a cramped little seat. You're sitting in a big movie theater and you can see the seats on all sides of you. Right? So you're alone in this big movie theater with a,
giant
movie
screen.
Theater size screen in front of you.
Yeah. So it's small enough to travel with. It's not so bulky that it's just a hassle to travel with.
It's kind of a hassle, but
worth it.
I mean, well, it's only a hassle really because I carry so much other stuff.
You're one of those people get stopped by the TSA as you go through the
Okay, the line. So for those of you who travel, I know you don't travel anymore, Todd.
Yeah, I give up.
For our fives of listeners who travel, the TSA Pre is the best $85 you will ever spend.
Hey, you know, I had the TSA, what is it called? The World one, right? Where it will get you through.
Oh, right. For going to other countries.
Yeah. So mine expired a couple of months ago, and I tried to renew it, but I couldn't log in. So I said, heck with it. I'm never going to travel again. So I'll just let it expire. But yeah, I did have the World one because I was doing a little bit of international travel, not much. But yeah, you're right. It was awesome when I used it.
The TSA Pre, you don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your laptop or anything out of your backpack.
Oh, you have to take your belt off, though. Yeah.
You don't have to take your belt off. You don't have to take your jacket, everything. You can leave it on. In fact, in Honolulu, and the line is much shorter. So in Honolulu, when I left, I was through security in about a minute and a half.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Basically, it was just walk, lay your stuff on the belt, walk through.
Yeah.
Done.
Oh, well, but you're right. Back when I used to travel, that was worth its weight in gold, for sure. It wouldn't be very much gold at 85, or I think mine was $100 for World, but anyhow. So what else have you been playing with in the last, during the pandemic that struck your fancy?
Well, I mean, just for fun, I bought a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, you did?
And okay. My excuse was that I was buying it for my grandson.
Okay. I see where this is going.
But, and so I bought Animal Crossing because I thought, he'll like this. And he doesn't really like Animal Crossing because you've got to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just to sit down and shoot things.
Right.
You got to do stuff.
It's exploratory. So
I've been playing Animal Crossing and building my little island and visiting other islands. And,
when my daughter was like 5 or 6, I think that's when Animal Crossing first came out for the Nintendo DS, the one with the double screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so interesting to ask my daughter, can I try it? Can I just try it? And she says, no, you're going to break it. So I never tried, but it did look very appealing. And back then, I can't remember how we did it, but her little friends, they could not exchange animals, but their animals could visit each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how we did that because I don't remember if it was connected to the internet. But I think maybe when they got together physically, it had like Bluetooth or something that did a little cross connection. And then after you left the vicinity, it would still persist.
Yeah, the devices can talk to each other. They can also connect to Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And so now you can visit islands of people who are in the same room or visit islands of people who are on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And interestingly, because of seasonality, it's now summer in Australia, New Zealand.
Right.
So there are certain fruits and fish that are only around, or butter insects and things that are only around in the summer.
Right.
And certain ones that are only around in the winter. So if you want to catch those insects, you have to make friends with somebody who lives in the Southern Hemisphere so you can visit their island and catch things that are not available in the Northern Hemisphere, available in your season.
So it pays to have friends in far-flung places.
Yeah, so it encourages that kind of thing. I have to say, Nintendo did a really lousy job with the way it connects and how long it takes.
Right.
And how cumbersome it is. But, you know.
It's still fun.
It's still fun, yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, I've seen a Nintendo Switch in Costco, I think, of all places. You know, Center of Technology. Mm-hmm. Where I find all technology these days.
And I've been the Oculus Quest 2, by the way.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, I saw the Oculus Quest. And it was like not too it was like under $250, maybe? I forget.
No, in Costco, it's $399. Oh, $399? But that's for the top-of-the-line one with a case.
Yeah.
So that's the 256 gig one.
Okay.
I have the 128 gig one, which was only $299.
Okay. So I've been tempted both, but you know, since I don't know, I've bought a bunch of things that I thought I was going to use. Like I bought what's the gimbal? What's the guys that make the
The DJI.
Yeah. And I really never used it much. You know, it's like, that's too bad. But I really need to restart that, I think. But yeah, the Nintendo, I find I'm just a casual gamer. And so, you know, whatever little game I play on the iPad is pretty much fine for me. Although if the Oculus Quest could do 3D photos like Google Cardboard used to, which was very cool, in my opinion, I might consider it. And I see on your list, you got a Eufy door lock.
Oh, okay. So, you know, pandemic and nothing else to do. So I started puttering around the house and said, you know, I've always wanted a door lock that I didn't have to, you know, have my hands full of stuff and pull out the key and fumble with it.
Yeah.
And because my car has that, right? My car, I can just, you know, walk up to it. And if I've got my key fob, I can push the button and open the door.
Yeah.
So I had a Eufy security system that I had gotten on Kickstarter when they were first getting started. So I had the Eufy cameras anyway. They sent me an ad. They said, oh, we have this new thing. It's our deadbolt. And it opens four different ways.
Huh.
You can open it with a key.
Right.
You can open it with a touchpad. It's got a numeric touchpad on it.
Right.
You can open it with your phone, or you can open it with your fingerprint.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it stores up to 50 fingerprints.
Yeah.
It stores up to 150 codes.
Okay.
So basically, I can give a code to anyone, and let's say someone is, I've got a plumber coming and I'm not going to be home. Right. I can say, okay, your code is 8192,
right?
And then after he's done, I can just erase the code.
Nice.
So I can give him limited access with the code, or if failing that, you know, somebody comes to the door, rings my doorbell. I have a Eufy doorbell that ties in. They come to the door and ring the doorbell. It pops up on my phone, and right there from the phone, I can unlock the door.
Nice. So, and you can have a little DJI drone that follows them around so they don't do anything bad.
So I've been sitting here in North Dakota unlocking and locking my front door just for fun. Of course, what's going to happen, you know what's going to happen, right? It's going to jam in the unlocked position.
Right. And then you'll have to call me to go over to run around your house and lock your door for you.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a fifth way you can lock and unlock it. You can do it with Alexa.
Oh.
But they actually did it intelligently, because instead of somebody just going to your window and yelling, right, Alexa, unlock the door,
right,
which they could, it will, if they say that, it will ask them for the code.
Right, right.
And they have to come up with one of the correct codes to, right, actually get it unlocked.
Including one of the one-time codes that you can generate, yes, like for a plumber.
If they have a one-time code, but of, yeah, course they could have used the one-time code anyway. But
yeah.
And the other really nice thing is,
that is
so
cool.
My wife always used to, every night, right? Did you lock the door? Did you lock,
yes,
the door?
Yes.
Did you lock the door? So this door at 11 p.m. automatically locks. And if you open the door anytime between 11 p.m. and,
right,
7 a.m.,
right,
after you close it again, 3 minutes later, it automatically locks.
And I was going to say, so, because you can get in with a code, you can't lock yourself out,
right,
even if it auto locks. So that's not an issue. That is cool. I like it.
So you know, it's 11:30. Oh, I forgot to take out the trash. So,
right,
I take out the trash. I,
right,
come back in, close the door, and, right, 3 minutes later, it locks.
Clock. Yeah, nice.
I don't even have to think about it.
That is nice. I like it. I like it. Well, it sounds like you've been pretty busy during the pandemic doing stuff that you might not have had enough time in the pre-pandemic days. And getting to something that actually failed you just before this podcast started.
Yes. So, as you may know, I've spent the last several years on a quest for the perfect earphones.
Yes.
And I've tried in the ear, right, over the, right, ear,
yep,
on the ear,
yep,
Bluetooth, wired, wireless. I even tried the, remember the Jawbone ones? That,
yes, the Jabra or something, those kind of things.
Bone conduction ones,
yeah,
that would,
yeah,
actually, yeah.
Those, so are uncomfortable, I found, but yeah.
You know, most of the in-the-ear ones, I don't know, maybe I have funny ears. They don't fit my ears very well.
Mine fall out.
Mine will definitely fall out with the standard,
yeah,
AirBuds.
Yeah.
The AirPods Pro,
uh-huh,
with the silicone tips.
Right.
So you put those in, and there's a test you're supposed to run on your phone,
right,
to see if you,
right,
have a seal. I can
seal,
never,
yeah,
get it to see.
Me either.
See,
same. Same. Or I can only get it on one ear, and I can't remember if it's left or right. But now I can't get it in either ear.
And then either John or Sven recommended a third-party kind of foam gel,
right,
tip.
Right.
So I tried those, and they're much more comfortable, but I still can't get the good,
the
seal
good fit.
Indicated.
Yeah. And the problem with those third-party add-on, the tips that kind of stick inside the inside of your ear, I don't know what that's called, the pinea or something. You got to take them off to charge your AirPods Pro. So, at least the ones I did.
Oh, these actually fit in the case.
Oh, yours fit in the case. Oh, my. See, mine did not, or at least the one I tried did not. So, but anyway, so you ended up buying. Oh, I should note that I can't even go walking with my AirPods Pro because they fall out of my ear. So I have to go. I use other things when I go walking.
So, I actually, my favorite ones for walking, interestingly, are the Bose Quiet Comfort 35C.
Is that over the ear?
Yeah, it's over the ear, but it has two different noise cancellation modes.
Mm-hmm.
If you do full-on noise cancellation, number one, it's a problem because you got cars coming. And
right,
things,
right.
And
it's kind of dangerous.
And also the wind will drive you nuts.
Right.
But if you use the low noise cancellation, it actually blocks wind noise.
Hmm. But you can still hear other ambient sounds like cars.
And you can still hear ambient sounds like, I mean, yeah, if a big truck goes by, you'll,
right,
hear it.
Right.
But it's much more comfortable. I can listen to podcasts. You know, I can,
yeah,
listen to audiobooks.
Do you find them too hot in Hawaii's warm weather? Or is this something you only use on the mainland?
No, they not at all.
Interesting.
Although that brings me to my latest acquisition.
Yes. Yes.
Which may in fact be too hot. So... As you know, our dear friends at Apple, who consider their products to be worth infinitely more than any competing product.
Yes, of course.
Decided that they wanted to
Uh-oh, you're breaking up just a
market.
little.
They created
And you're back.
Okay, so they created the AirPods Max.
Yes.
And the AirPods Max have aluminum shells, so they're quite heavy. And then they have a mesh top. And the mesh band actually works pretty well.
Yeah.
They're relatively comfortable, although they are heavy. And they came in at a price point of $550.
Yeah, way too expensive for me.
Way too expensive for anybody, really. So I actually got them on sale at Amazon for $469.
So good deal, but still too expensive for me.
Which is a good deal, but still, you know, incredibly expensive. But I thought, you know, if these are the ultimate headphones,
why not?
Then maybe my quest is ended, right?
Right, right.
They do work really well with Apple products, right? So I have a MacBook. I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. Right. They connect seamlessly to all of those, and they go back and forth between each one, and that's really nice. And in fact, they work with Apple's Find My. So if you leave your house without your headphones, it'll go, hello, you left your headphones behind. So, they're kind of interesting that way. The volume control is really interesting because it's a little knob on the top.
Right.
So instead of being a touch thing, you actually twist the little knob, which at first I thought was weird, but it turns out it's much more intuitive to reach up and turn the knob than it is to try and use a touch control somewhere.
Yeah, I don't like the touch controls on headsets, but yeah, so I can understand that.
And so it has one knob and one button, and the button switches between off, transparent mode, and noise canceling mode. I'm going to say the noise canceling mode is the best that I have used.
Really?
Yeah, it's really excellent. And the transparency mode is also really excellent because it has microphones all around the outside of this thing.
Right.
But when you click transparency mode, I can be on the airplane, hit that button, and I can have a conversation with the flight attendant as though I weren't even wearing the headphones.
Right.
In fact, I could probably hear her a little better than if I weren't wearing the headphones because it concentrates her voice and sends it into my ears, right?
Right, right, right.
As opposed to, the older I get, the harder it is for me to have a conversation with ambient noise.
I hear you.
So.
No pun intended.
So that part of it I really like. And the other thing that's really interesting about these headphones is they use this system that Apple calls, okay, I'm blanking on what they call it now. The AirPods Pro also have it.
Okay. Oh, spatial audio?
Spatial audio, thank you.
Okay.
So they do spatial audio, and it works for music.
Right.
But it also works for things like a movie. So
yeah.
If you're watching a movie, and if you turn your head to the left, all the sound is now coming from the right.
Right.
And if you turn your head to the right, all the sound is now coming from the left. It literally orients the sound to where your head is.
It's kind of wild, isn't it?
If you turn around, you'll hear the sound coming from behind you.
Yeah. It is pretty wild. You know, and I have to tell you, it's kind of embarrassing. I couldn't figure out what it was I was trying to listen to. So John Westfall finally explained to me what I should, you know, do what you just told me. You know, turn your head one way and turn your head the other and notice the directionality of the sound. And that was kind of interesting. I did want to point out something. So, you know, the Find My feature with AirPods Max. So that also works with the AirPods Pro. But I also found out it works with the $50 Apple Beats Flex, which is, you know, low-end.
Oh, really?
Wired. Yeah, I just looked at my Find My, and I noticed that it's listed amongst the devices that I own. You know, Find My Beats Flex. So for $50, you can do a Find My. And here's another odd thing that happened. So I was in Costco like 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that they had the Beats Flex, you know, in a blister pack, right? Unlike normal Apple products, which have beautiful packaging. But it was in a blister pack, and I saw the price, and I said, $80? Why are they charging $80 for a $50 product? And I looked at it. It's a two-pack because it's Costco.
Oh, okay.
So actually, it's a good deal if you want more than one. It was $40 each. It doesn't have noise cancellation, by the way. But they don't. And they do fall out of my ears, but because they have cables or wires in between, I don't ever lose them. So, and because they're Apple, you know, Apple branded, they have, you know, they have the ability, like all the other Apple AirPods and so forth, that they'll just move from device to device to device without repairing and, you know, all the stuff that nothing else seems to figure out how to do correctly. So I've come to appreciate those $50 Beats Flex headsets.
So speaking of Find My...
Oh, well, okay, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, but... And so you were wearing your AirPods AirPods Max just before the podcast began, and then you realized that it was dead.
Yeah. Well, I looked down, and it said 1%, and about 30 seconds later, it went...
So you're using just your speakers right now?
And I'm just using the MacBook Pro speakers and microphone. Yeah. Sorry.
And you sound fine, by the way. You sound absolutely fine.
But speaking of Find My, as you know, I've always been a big fan of Tile.
Yes.
I backed Tile on Kickstarter when it was a Kickstarter project.
I remember that.
I've used Tiles ever since. And Apple last year came up with a competitor to Tile, which is the...
AirTags.
AirTags.
Yeah.
And so I bought an AirTag, try it out. I said, well, you know, we'll give it a try. And the only thing I didn't like about it was that it didn't have the leash feature.
Yeah, so you got to buy the separate. Yeah.
The Tile has a leash feature where if you put it on your backpack and you leave and you forget your backpack, it'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, now that the Tile... Or sorry, not the Tile, but the AirTags have in Find My the leash feature.
Yes.
So, like the AirPods Max, if I have that turned on and I leave if I go to a client and I leave my backpack at their place of business and I start to drive away.
Yeah.
I about two blocks away and it goes, "Hey, buddy, you forgot your backpack."
Yeah, it is a great feature. In fact, you know, I parked in the parking spot I park in almost every day to go into my office, which I don't go into every day anymore. And I started walking to my office. It's a bit of a walk. It's not like right next door or anything from my parking structure. And my Apple Watch says, you know, your phone's not with you anymore, right? And so I walked back to my car and got my phone. So that leash feature is awesome. Our mutual friend Sterling Yee had a really good suggestion for me, although it turns out that thieves are using it too now, but for a different way. He says, you know, if you've got a spare AirTag, just leave it in your car somewhere. And you can, if you forget where you parked, you know, you can just use the AirTag to find your car. I have not used it for that feature yet, but I tell you something interesting. So I have it kind of squirreled away in my car. And I walk away and I'm in my office, you know, all day or whatever. But the interesting thing is, so anytime somebody with a Find My device, phone, anything, right? Anything that's got Bluetooth on it, passes by, it kind of registers, says, hey, there's an AirTag here. Right. And kind of reports back. Well, if you look and Find My reports back, I swear, even though I'm just in a parking structure, you know, with not a lot of, you know, walk through traffic, there's enough activity in there. That every 10 or 15 minutes, it says, oh, yeah, last seen 10 minutes ago. You know, so somebody drove by it or walked by it or something. And so I find that endlessly amusing.
There's actually a game that people have started playing where they will take AirTags and attach them to things and send them around the world.
I've seen that.
Just to see where they end
yeah.
up.
Yeah. I saw somebody on YouTube send it to North Korea.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's so many iPhones in the world that's one of the things about the Tile is the Tile would do the same thing, but somebody had to have the Tile app on their phone
right,
for it to report back. Whereas with Apple, you don't have to have anything running on your phone to see the Tiles. And so the Apple network is so gigantic that pretty much anywhere in the world you leave your stuff, somebody's going to go buy it with an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. It is pretty amazing. And you know what thieves are doing now is they buy the so they're not hijacking your AirTag. What they do is they buy their own tags and they stick it on high-end cars and then they locate the car and steal it later.
Mm-hmm.
So So, or you know, robbed the home, I guess. So,
so I understand that that disgruntled or suspicious spouses have also slipped air tags into somebody's wallet, no, well, not wallet,
purse,
but bag,
or something. Something, yeah,
to, purse to track, yeah, them. And so Apple actually has a new feature in the latest iOS where if it will tell you if there's a suspicious AirTag
near you,
it's close to you.
Right, right. I read about it. I haven't looked at it. If
AirTag close to you, it'll alert you.
Right, right. We live in a weird new world, Paul. right. A very stalkerish kind of world. Sometimes you're stalking yourself or your own stuff, which is okay, and other times it's not so okay. But, you know, it's funny. You know, up until last weekend, I didn't know anybody who had actually bought AirPods Max. And last weekend, I caught up with another mutual friend, Ryan Ozawa, and he's everybody in his family has one. so they are an all AirPods Max family, which I thought was hilarious and expensive.
Very expensive.
But, hey.
I'm not going to say they're the best headphones I've ever used because they are very heavy.
Yeah.
And they don't get very loud.
Oh.
Which I suppose is good for my hearing.
Right, right, right.
But it's still annoying when you can't turn it up just
crank
a little
up
more.
Yeah. Or, Paul, your hearing's going bad and it actually is loud.
That's also a possibility. But other than that, I mean, the noise cancellation is excellent. The spatial audio is very cool. Most music, especially older music, hasn't been re-engineered for spatial audio. But they did go through and do a bunch of old music re-engineered on the Apple Music Store for spatial audio. Which brings me to another topic. The Apple Music Store is now kind of, you can get it integrated with their all-you-can-eat plan.
Yeah.
Which includes Apple Music and Apple TV and
Apple
iCloud storage. Yeah. What is it called? Apple One or something?
Yeah, there's a couple different levels. Yeah.
And so I've got the family plan for Apple One.
Me too. It's excellent.
And it's excellent, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So, it includes iCloud storage. I think 1 terabyte total or 1 terabyte per person. I can't remember.
I think it's a lot. 1 terabyte per person.
Yeah, up to 5 or 6, I think. And it's got, like you said, it's got the Apple Music. And, you know, I was not a big Apple Music fan or iTunes fan in the old days. In fact, I was a Google Music user. Still am, because I have the, you know, $15 a month plan that includes free YouTube and no ads YouTube. But yeah, so the music, it's got our Apple Arcade, which I actually do play, you know, because I'm a casual gamer. And probably a couple other things that I'm forgetting, but it's Apple News, which, you know, I didn't think was worth paying for all by itself, but since it's included, I actually do find it useful. So that was pretty cool.
The price per person for a single plan is a little high, but on the family plan, it's quite reasonable.
Totally agree. I think it's $30 a month, $40 a month. And if you have more than 2 people, I mean, if you have 2 people, it's not bad. So
yeah. And then I also have the little speaker. Okay. I have the big speaker too, but so I originally got the big, the Apple,
HomePod. Yeah.
So they've actually discontinued the HomePod, which was quite large.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's about 6 inches in diameter and 8 inches high, and it's heavy. They've discontinued that HomePod, and they have the HomePod Mini now.
Okay.
And the HomePod Mini, which is quite small, it's maybe a ball about 3.5 inches in diameter.
Okay.
And it puts out an incredible amount of bass for the size that it is. And if you get 2 of them, you can set them up to do stereo.
Nice. Now I remember you were a big Amazon Echo fan. In fact, you were the first person I knew who had an Amazon Echo, the original. do you find it superior to the Echo?
Okay, so now this is where I'm really torn because Alexa is superior to Siri.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yeah.
But the Apple because of the integration with all the devices,
right,
the Apple experience is superior, especially for music. I mean, I can start and stop music in different rooms in my house. I can switch between devices. If I bring my phone close to the HomePod, it automatically pops up on the screen of my phone what's on the HomePod, and I can control it from the phone.
Yeah.
It's just a much more integrated experience, obviously. But I still like Alexa better in terms of
smartness,
AI recognition. Yeah. So I have both, you know, I have Amazon Echoes and HomePods like all over my house.
Yeah. Yeah, I put an Echo Flex in my bathroom so I can listen to news and ask it questions when I'm brushing my teeth. with a nightlight. I bought the nightlight attachment for it too, so it's also a nightlight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have an Echo Flex. I have two big Echoes, and I have two small Echo Dots. So basically every room in my house has an Echo.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where my Echo Dots went. I got to go look for them now. I bought an Echo, what is it called? The 5-inch display one, whatever that's called, with a 5-inch.
Oh, Echo Show.
Yeah, Echo Show Echo 5. Show. Yeah, that's
an alarm clock now.
Exactly. It is awesome. All right, and Wi-Fi. You know, I think we've discussed this, and I still don't know the answer why, but my Wi-Fi access points die about every 3 to 4 years, and I'm forced to replace them. I see you bought the Eero 6. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I actually started buying Eeros for my clients when they were a really high-end system.
Yeah.
With a high-end price tag.
Yeah.
And then Amazon bought Eero. So it's still branded as Eero, but it's now owned by Amazon.
Yeah.
And the prices have come down somewhat. So the system that I purchased, you can buy it in different configurations of router and satellites.
Right.
What I did is I bought a 3-router pack. And the reason for that is because each of the routers has RJ45 ports, plug-in wired devices. So with the 3-router pack, I can plug in an RJ45 device to any of the routers.
So Wi-Fi provides the backbone, which is kind of backwards from the old days.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi will create a wireless bridge.
Yeah.
For any device that has to be
plugged
in.
That's pretty interesting.
And it wasn't that expensive. I'm going to say it was $300.
For a 3-pack.
For a 3-pack, yeah.
Yeah. And a high-end router will cost you, Wi-Fi, you know, access point / router will run you $200-$300. So that's, you're right. Comparatively speaking, since you get three of them, that's pretty decent. Oh boy.
The only thing I don't like about the Eero is that there is no web interface.
Oh really? So how do you administer it? You need an app.
You can manage it with the app.
I see.
And I'm used to being able to do,
yeah,
you know, routery things with my routers.
Right.
You know,
right.
And ports and make holes for certain devices.
Right.
Have a DMZ and things like that. And
I hear
so
you.
Doesn't do that kind of stuff that I like to tinker with.
To tinker with, yeah. Yeah. All right.
But I have to say the Wi-Fi signal on it is just rock solid.
By the way, I wanted to ask you before we finish off, is so you carry your Oculus and your AirPods Max when you travel?
And my laptop and iPad.
You're way worse than I am. I'm traveling lighter and lighter. Well, when I was traveling, I have quit, of course. But and I should note to folks, I quit traveling before the pandemic because I just got so fed up with the whole experience. I enjoy going places. I just don't enjoy getting there. But I was traveling lighter and lighter to the point where I didn't have any check-in baggage near the end of my traveling days.
Yeah, I try to travel without check-in bags too. But yeah. This last time I was incredibly annoyed because I was upgraded
right
to Delta Comfort Plus in a window seat.
Right.
The window seat, number one, had no window.
So you just had a fuselage wall.
It was fuselage, yes.
Yeah.
And number two, it was the row right in front of the exit, which means that this didn't recline.
Yeah, and you had and you couldn't put anything underneath the other person's seat, probably.
I'm going, excuse me, what is the comfort plus here? No window, no reclining. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We thought you wanted the discomfort minus seat.
The other row I hate is when you get upgraded in, again, comfort plus or even first class to the bulkhead.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a foot in front of your feet.
Right.
So there's less leg on the first class bulkhead seat than there is in a coach seat.
Wow. Well, again, you know why I don't travel anymore. It's just, when I was younger and more flexible and, I could sit for long periods at a time without being in pain. It was, I put up with it. Now it's like, why do I want to do that to myself?
Although, you know what I would really like to do? My parents did this and I saw their pictures. They took up the Trans-Canada train.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Through the Canadian Rockies.
Yes.
And you're in these observer cars where the seats actually face the windows.
Right.
And then it's like a big bubble top.
Yeah.
So apparently it's quite wonderful.
Yes, I did read about that. And not quite as wonderful, but I always thought was interesting is there is a Amtrak had a train that went from, I think, the Bay Area, somewhere in San Francisco, near San Francisco, over the Rockies to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, and I don't think they have these fancy cars or anything, but I also thought that would have been an interesting trip. I think it's like 4 or 5 days. So, your whole vacation basically used up getting from one place to the other.
Is that the California Zephyr?
Might have been. That sounds familiar. Yeah. Yeah. And the other one I thought was interesting was the Pacific Coast Liner that goes up the coast from, I think, L.A. to Seattle or somewhere near Seattle. But, again, takes days and days. And then
if you go to Japan, train travel is an experience. Awesome.
Yeah.
And so these kinds of trains, while they aren't quite up to the level of Japanese train service.
Nor as fast.
It still creates quite an experience. By the way, I found out why we can't have bullet trains in the U.S.
Why?
You know why?
No.
Okay, this is really interesting. That apparently there's all these laws on the book that passenger trains have to be able to survive a collision with a freight train.
Oh.
And the bullet trains are so light.
Yeah.
In order to go fast, that they would be demolished by a collision with a freight train.
At 200 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in Japan, isn't the Shinkansen on a separate track from like freight? So that can never happen?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, we could build separate tracks, but I don't see that happening anytime.
Well, that's the problem with Amtrak, actually, because when my daughter was going to college in Oregon, a couple of times I booked the Amtrak from her school to Portland or, one way or the other, in order to visit her, or we'd go to Portland for, a day trip or something. But half the time, Amtrak would cancel us because there was some kind of incident, where there was behind a freight train that had a problem or was going too slow and everything was blocked. And we would have to be shifted to like a gray line or something and take a bus. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the problem. We just don't have our rail system designed properly in the U.S. But enough venting about that. But a few times I did take Amtrak. It was quite pleasant, actually. I really enjoyed it. Okay. Hey, Paul, we are at the top of the hour, a little past the top of the hour. I just wanted to thank you for catching up. Didn't realize you were in North Dakota.
Not a problem.
I'm glad it worked out for you. I think you are the next Sunday is New Year's Day, so I think you are the last podcast person guest for 2021. So thank you. It's been really great catching up with all my friends this year.
I always appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Yeah.
Talk to your wives of listeners.
Exactly. So this has been Todd Agasawara and Paul Lawler, Mobile Views Podcast 387, and we're coming to an end.